You're listening to the Philly Young Adults Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Philly Young Adults Podcast. My name is Dan. It's great to be with you in one sense. We've been doing this little series called Truth Bites, where we open the scripture in bite sizes. And today, we're going to be reading a few verses from the book of Philippians together. I was reading and came across this passage and felt the Lord stirring some thoughts that I wanted to share with you all. The book of Philippians is a great guide for followers of Jesus who want to know the basics, foundations for the Christian life. And today's passage had me thinking and pondering over the Christian response to anxiety. Now, there's some great resources on anxiety, like Rejoice and Tremble by Michael Reeves, which is a personal favorite, or Anxiety, Depression, and the Christian Life by Richard Baxter. But really, it's great when you get to a passage that stands out and gives you some finite instructions on how to live in light of something. And I know that our world is plagued by anxiety. Maybe right now, there's something stressing you out, and you have some kind of exam, or your job is something crazy happening right now. Maybe some life event is taxing your mind, your finances are tough, or just everyday anxiety. When we read passages like today, I think we see that nothing's new under the sun. Whether you're a Christian in the early church, and the things that you were anxious about were daily food and clothes, and maybe potentially being forced to go to war, or Christians today who are much more global and end up seeing things in nations far away adding to our anxiety, plus the events of our own lives. The Holy Spirit here gives us these verses as very practical solutions that we should know, memorize, and live our lives by. So we're going to be reading today Philippians 4, verse 4 through 7. So if you have a Bible opened up in front of you, or if you're driving or listening and you want to be there, I'll read it to us. But Paul says here, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This portion of scripture begins with "Rejoice in the Lord always." This is a theme in the book that Paul repeats. In chapter 1, verse 4, he writes, "Always, in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." And in chapter 2, verse 17, he writes, "Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all." And then now here, and Paul, he does what he preaches. In the book of Acts, he and Silas were beaten and thrown into prison. And they don't just sit there all mopey and depressed, but rather they sang praises to the Lord. And now, he's in prison again while writing the book of Philippians, and he doesn't tell them to have pity on them, but rather to rejoice. As Christians, there's this one very obvious reason for us to rejoice, and it's really good to be reminded of it daily. We've been saved from our sin. In fact, Paul writes in verse 3, directly before this verse, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's worthy of rejoicing. We are filled with the Spirit, our salvation secure. Everything we have is given from the Lord, including the breath that I have right now to record this episode. If we don't have gratitude, we have to sometimes wonder, do we really understand the weight of our sin in which we were freed from? Because David writes in Psalms 40, verse 2, that he drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Peter writes, "Though you've not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So, when Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord," it's not how we rejoice, but rather the very foundation for our rejoicing. We rejoice in the Lord, not in our circumstances, which is why Paul can write this. Friends, the Christian realizes the Lord is in control. He knows the outcomes of our lives. If our joy is built and established on circumstancing, then rejoicing couldn't be a command here. It would, in fact, be acceptable for there to be times where we don't rejoice. But since our rejoicing is rooted in Jesus, He never changes regardless, even if our circumstances change, and therefore we can still have joy. Nehemiah writes, "Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And we've read this before. James writes, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." This joy and rejoicing, then, is not based on optimism. I'm a pretty optimistic person. In the glass half full, half empty gauge, I'm the kind of person where there's a hole in the glass, the water's pouring out on the floor, the water's almost gone, and I'm like, yeah, it's like half full, maybe even full. For us, though, this isn't optimism or some like Christianized hoping for the best. Paul wants us to understand that we rejoice in the Lord because of the Lord and in full confidence of the Lord. And then He attaches that command to us, and He tells us to rejoice for the length of time and when. And it's in one word, always. We rejoice in the Lord always, at all times. Maybe right now we need to pause this episode and take a second and thank the Lord for who He is, that He is good and His love endures forever. But Paul continues, and he says, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone." That word reasonable is interesting. It's translated oftentimes as gentleness, as moderation. I really like the ESV using the word reasonableness, because if you know the Lord is at hand, like it says here, well, we're going to be reasonable because we're going to trust that He's in control. We're not going to be anxious because we know He's coming. We can trust Him to get everything right, and since it says the Lord is at hand, the reasonable thing for us to do is the command in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. This is the verse that we're kind of focusing on. If you were to buy a car, and Elon Musk was on his way with a check to pay for your car, you wouldn't be anxious if you were to have enough money to pay for your car. You knew He was at hand. But even better, in our own lives, it says that the Lord is at hand. And he contrasts that with, in that verse, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." We're to be anxious for nothing. Whether you're reading the Greek or the English, the word "nothing" here means nothing. We're to bring everything in prayer, and everything here means everything. So think about this. We worry about nothing, and we pray about everything. Maybe we need to remind ourselves that again and again. Pray about everything, worry about nothing. Repeat that. Pray about everything, worry about nothing. If you're scared, give it over to the Lord. Don't entertain those what-if scenarios. Because the Lord here is not just saying, "Hey guys, don't worry. It's not a big deal. Just suck it up. Don't worry." Leaving us to worry about how we're not supposed to worry, and really gives us no solution. The Bible gives us a solution, and it tells us exactly how to not worry, and that's to pray. A question I have for all of us, including my own heart, is when was the last time we prayed in length and laid everything out that worried us? We sometimes read these verses about prayer and worry, and we're often like, "Well, yeah, I prayed, I said something, or I thought a prayer to the Lord." The Bible says to cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. Cast them on Him. This is something that I've had to learn a lot recently, that we cast all of our cares on the Lord. We don't cast them on our moms or our significant others or random people on social media or our friends. We cast them on the Lord. Spell it out for the Lord. Give him everything. Unload your burden on him. Maybe pray through the exact details that you're thinking about, the things that are worrying you. Jesus tells us in Matthew, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Those are great verses that you could spend time in alone, but notice that he says that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That means if I find myself carrying the full weight of a heavy burden, it's potentially that I haven't hitched myself fully on to him in that situation to find rest, because his yoke is easy. But it doesn't say that he's going to take away the problem. If the problem is our gauge, then we're going to end up being disappointed. But if we realize that Jesus will sustain us, that he will carry us, that he will walk with us in whatever that problem is, that burden's going to be light on multiple fronts. It's like doing something hard with a friend. So Paul writes, "In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." Lay it all before him. Sit with him. Commune with him. Sometimes we just give him our piece of what we need, but we don't spend time sitting with him, waiting for him to speak to us, which in one sense is the most important part. But we still need to make them known to him. He wants to know. He wants to know the things that are making us anxious, what's happening in our lives. Give it all to him. But he says, do it with thanksgiving. He says in verse 7 then, that when you do this, when you give him everything in prayer, that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean that all of our problems will be solved, but we'll be the kind of people that are not shaken. We will have peace that we don't understand, that might even seem illogical to the world around us, but it says here that that peace will guard our hearts and our minds. The word guard is like a military term. It's more like a castle wall, that this peace will castle itself around your hearts and your minds. But if we don't pray, then we won't be guarded in Christ. The guarding is connected to prayer, if you see that in these verses. So, how often does my own heart get anxious by the cares of this world? But, good news, God doesn't leave us alone. There's a way for us to guard our hearts and our minds, and rather than being anxious, we can be the kind of people who pray and are guarded by an unexplainable peace. What a mark of faith to go and lay everything on the one who's in control of everything and trust that he will take care of us. Amen? I hope this blesses and encourages you and gives you something to think about. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at ya@ccphilly.org or come by on a Monday and we can chat about this, and I would love that. Until then, be blessed.